Talk Central is brought to you by CloudGate, a micro-mega company. All the power of a PC, the flexibility of Android, all at a fraction of the cost. For homework or play, available at takealot.com or cloudgate.co.za for only $1,999.
I'm Richard van Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 112 for the weekend starting Friday, 19 September 2014.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism.
That's right, Duncan. No headlines like drag queens want Facebook aliases on Tech Central.
Absolutely not. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central, on Google Plus at Plus Tech Central, and on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about Altec Node.
We also chat about VOD services in South Africa more generally, and we have a look at the Nokia Lumia 930.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, Richard, but first we must pay the bills. We'll be back right after this.
How do we go through so many packs of paper a month? What keeps happening to all our stationery?
Well, we do have those Guardian iLight cameras monitoring the office, so I can just check the feed.
Alright, so that's 2 reams, 40 millilitre staples for serum.
So that's where it's all going.
Keep an eye on what matters most with Guardian iLight from Vox Telecom. An easy-to-install Wi-Fi camera that you can access from any smart device. For more information, SMS your name to 31399 or visit voxtelecom.co.za. Standard SMS rates apply.
How's it, Duncan?
How's it, Richard? How are you doing?
I'm good, good.
Good. Must apologize in advance for any background noises that you may hear during the recording of this, or during this podcast, listening of this podcast. We've got a lot of construction work going on next to our office, so there may be a bit of drilling and some hammering that you hear during the show. So apologies for that in advance. But let's get into it. The big news this week is Altec's Node, right?
Yeah. It seems to be the space seems to be heating up in South Africa quite rapidly now.
Yeah, that's the video on demand market. In case you missed it, it's a big story. Altec, in fact, we've been playing around with one of these devices for about 2 months now. It's a set-top box. We've unfortunately been under an NDA, so been unable to talk about it. There's been a little bit of speculation in the media about what was coming, but we couldn't join the bandwagon of that speculation because we knew exactly what was coming. One of the disadvantages, I think, of signing an NDA is that sometimes it precludes you from writing stuff that you otherwise would be able to. But interesting device made by Altec UEC, which is the big set-top box manufacturer down in Durban, part of the Altec stable. And offering video on demand, but not in the traditional Netflix sort of model delivered over the internet, but rather in the sort of more of a multi-choice sort of model where they deliver the content over the satellite on a push VOD basis to the box, which has a 1 terabyte hard drive, and then consumers watch the content that has been delivered to that box. It's roughly 800 gigs in content. It's about 200 gigs on the thing that's left spare for people who want to download apps and for caching and that sort of thing. And it's an SVOD and a TVOD box. What that means is it has a subscription video on demand component to it where you pay a monthly fee. That fee is set at R2.99 a month. And there's also a TVOD component or transactional VOD component where you can watch the latest or rent the latest movies that have just come off the cinema circuit, similar to DSTV's box office, for those familiar with that, where you can select from a choice of movies that they make available through push VOD and then rent them. Movies cost R25 each, so probably strategically priced at R2 less than box office movies. Selection of 100 movies available at launch. And a wide range of television content as well. We're looking at about if I remember correctly, several hundred episodes of series at launch. They've got 4 Hollywood studios signed up. 2 they haven't. They're going to be launching HBO content as well, which is important, but not at launch. They haven't said when that's coming, but they are apparently planning to launch it. And HBO, of course, has some of the best American television series. So a very good, I think, technology platform. I've got a little few reservations about the user interface. I think that needs some work. I think that what we're looking at here, certainly in this first generation of the product, is something that's been developed by the engineers rather than by the creative types. So it's a robust, technologically sound platform. But in terms of the interface, I think it probably needs a bit of sexying up. Mm-hmm. It's a little too text heavy. They should make better use of images, I think. They should probably have a, if they don't, they should probably have a a top designer in to really work and manipulate and get that user interface sparkling. But for a first generation product, I think it's very good.
And especially because it's kind of in between the, you don't really need a broadband connection for this, but you also don't
That's
need a full on satellite service for it. I think it could do well, you know, especially considering our broadband constraints. And it's an alternative service, so it's not just another VOD service or internet based VOD service. Mm. It's also just not another satellite service. Could be interesting. I would like to see how customers.
It's certainly a different model, and it's very different to the VD launch we saw about 2 weeks ago now. From Times Media, that they're going for a broadband model, a Netflix-type model, 149 rand a month, and you get access to their unlimited streaming, plus you can rent movies. But you have to have a good broadband connection, and their bet is that the South African broadband situation is good enough now to allow us to do that. LTEC's bet is that it's not, and that this sort of stuff has to be pushed over VOD to over satellite rather, to ensure that customers have a reasonable experience. Which model is more successful? I think it's going to, we'll know in a year from now.
Yeah, I think the other thing with the LTEC node is the fact that there is a setup fee, and I'm sure a lot of people won't really be comfortable paying, you know, the installation costs if they don't want to go with
this. There is a high cost to entry, let's call it that, and that's the cost of the decoder, which is 3,500 rand.
They include installation.
It includes installation, so they can either put a dish for you in for you, or you can use your existing MultiChoice dish. They're using the same satellite that MultiChoice uses, which is the Intelsat 20 satellite. Centec is the signal distributor. It's a clever move to use that satellite because it simply means that all you have to do is, if you don't already have it, is put a quad LMB in your dish. I forget what LMB stands for, low noise down converter block, I think. Put a quad LMB in your dish, and away you go. Bob's your uncle, plug in the decoder, it'll start seeding the content from the satellite onto your decoder at a rate of 10 megabits a second.
Sure, no, that's not bad. Now, what happens if you already got an existing DSTV decoder? Are you able to run the two
concurrently? You can run the two concurrently, that's
even
right.
Even if you have the latest Explorer, right?
That's right.
Okay. Doesn't the Explorer use the quad LMB already?
I don't think you need a quad LMB for the Explorer. I stand to correction on that. No, in fact, you don't. I have an Explorer and I'm running the node on the same dish.
Okay.
So the answer is no, you don't. I don't think the Explorer requires a quad LMB. I think it requires a twin LMB.
Okay.
MultiChoice did have a PVR at one point that required a quad LMB. I think it may have been their first or second HD PVR model.
Yeah. I think it was the second one. The first one I had
it allowed recording on a wide range of TVs or something.
Yes.
I forget the detail, but certainly if you have an Explorer decoder, you can install the LTEC node as well. But the really interesting thing about the node is it goes way beyond just video on demand. It's also a home automation system. When I had an exclusive interview, I must say, with Craig Fenter earlier this week on the development of the node and how it came about and the investments they've made, etc. You know, they've brought in a lot of the LTEC stable companies in the LTEC stable to develop this thing, and it's, while we haven't had a chance to play around with that yet, we're hoping to do so soon. The thing does a lot of other stuff like home automation, so you can wirelessly connect or through Ethernet connect external security cameras to this thing. You can connect motion sensors. You can connect a Zigbee plug that'll allow you to control your lights at home and your heating or whatever.
Nice,
you can tell it. You know, the Zigbee plug will allow you through the node will allow you to configure all of these things, and you can actually program it all through a user interface on the node.
That could be quite handy. I think once home automation does pick up, or we get more products that's compatible with this kind of thing,
I think it's quite cool, and it's a really interesting area at the moment. I mean, we've seen Google get into that space with that recent acquisition they made. What was that company they bought?
Nest.
So it certainly is a growing area of interest. And I must say, we haven't had a chance to play around with the home automation component of Node yet. We will do so. But LTEC is going to be selling these hardware components in the same retail outlets where you can buy the Node. So if you want to connect a security camera to it, you'll be able to buy that their branded camera at the same point of sale.
Nice. Oh, so it's going to be their branded hardware.
It will be their branded hardware. That's right, yeah. Although I'm sure you can connect alternative hardware to it as well. I'm sure there's I'm sure there's a whole industry that's going to develop around this thing if the node turns out to be successful. So interesting stuff. There's even an option of getting a VoIP phone with it, provided by Altec AutoPage Cellular, so you can make internet phone calls through your TV.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's certainly a very appealing looking service, and I would definitely try it. I mean, it's again the kind of thing I would give to my parents before I give them perhaps an online VOD service, because they've got it to their TV, where any other traditional non-set-top box VOD services require you to connect your notebook to your TV.
Yes, right?
So,
yes.
It's another, it makes it easier to get onto this VOD space.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you were to take a bet on this, do you think is going to be more successful, Node or VD?
Sure, that's a difficult question. I think in the short term, VD will be more successful. It's easy to get into and people can try it out. But I think if looking at the broader scale of South Africans who might not have broadband internet, if somebody thinks that DSTV is not for them anymore, then certainly Altec solution is going to be good.
I think their success is going to come down to what content they offer the end user. I think that the content available on VD is a little sparse at the moment, and I think they need to do some work on that front. I think the node, once they've got HBO content on, it's going to become a particularly compelling proposition. I think that both models are going to work, actually. I think there's demand for both.
Big enough market for it.
It's not a huge market, but, I think that, Craig Fenter was talking about a market of a few tens of thousands to break even on the node, which is not a lot. And I'm sure that on VD, because they don't have the upfront development costs of building a decoder, the payback numbers are probably even smaller.
The downside, and I don't know if this would be the same with the node, but I've been playing with VD for a few days now, and I still like it. I still think it's got a lot of potential. But I'm finding that the more I use it, as I go through the content, I realize that there isn't actually a lot of content on the service. So they need to scale it up quite quickly, especially for serious TV series viewers or somebody like me that enjoys watching movies while I'm doing other things. So I can go through most of the library in a few days if I spend a lot of time maybe a weekend watching some things.
For now
I'm quite happy with the balance of having two or three services that could satisfy my needs depending on what I want. It would be nice to have one service that does everything, but Netflix will still be my primary consumption of entertainment.
Technically though, Netflix is not available in South Africa.
For sure, for sure.
So I don't know if it's fair to even include them in the mix.
But
I suppose you have to, because so many people are using VPN services to watch it anyway.
And also, talking about the early adopter market, I mean, those are the kind of guys, people like me, would be the kind of market that would take up the Altec node first, because it's interesting, it's new, and we understand the technology. If it wasn't for the upfront cost of about $3,500, I might be inclined to get it much quicker. But because of that, I can't see myself getting that service anytime soon.
That upfront cost. I think that set-top box price from Altec is going to have to drop. I think $3,500 is too high an expectation for the deal, especially for a service that you can't pilot or test beforehand. I think they're going to need to knock R1,000 off their price at least.
Especially when
you can get an Explorer decoder, I think, for R1,500 now. Certainly the multi-choice services, DSTV premium package is more than twice the price of the Altec node subscription.
Sure.
But you know what you're getting there, and it's a proven and tested platform.
Maybe
that comes with VOD, by the way.
True. But maybe they should also look at putting in that upfront cost into a monthly subscription, so 12 months or whatever. I mean, I'd be more inclined to sign a contract for that than getting.
You can. Altec AutoPage they're offering it through Altec AutoPage at R199 a month.
And then you get the decoder as well and the service.
No, the service you pay another $299.
Oh, so that's $199 just to finance the decoder.
It's $300 plus $200.
Okay.
So $500 bucks a month, you get the decoder thrown in, but then you're blocked into a 24-month contract.
For sure.
But it's an interesting device, and I think the other thing we haven't mentioned is that it's a connected device as well. It has to be a connected device because the DRM they use, they've actually developed a system which they've patented in-house that where the encryption key, is stored in the cloud on a server. And so you have to be online to unlock the content you're going to watch. So that requires an internet connection. It comes with 3G built-in, 3G connectivity built-in.
Cool.
You insert
cool.
a SIM card that comes with it. It's got 10 rand of airtime on it from Altec order page. And that's enough to allow you to go through the sign-up process, registration process at the beginning, and then start to watch. And then you can top up that thing through the system. That's through the
cool.
system, yeah.
Does it use a lot of data?
It doesn't. I think you're looking at, I think they did give me the figure. I think they said 180 kilobytes of data to unlock a piece of content.
Oh, that's nothing. Yeah. So and if you have Wi-Fi, that's taken care of already. So.
If it's got built-in Wi-Fi as well, it also has an Ethernet port. So if like me, you've got an Ethernet network at home, which I've recently installed,
nice.
And then you just plug your Ethernet into the back of the thing. Otherwise, just connect to your Wi-Fi network. Yeah.
I do think it's very exciting, though. It's so good to see this kind of thing coming to South Africa. Mm. And
the other interesting thing before we move on that I wanted to mention about it is which I find quite interesting, is that it has four virtual machines on it. It's got Android on one of those virtual machines. The reason I don't put it all in the same machine is that
licensing copyright.
The content providers won't allow Android anywhere near their content.
I wonder why.
For obvious reasons. And so they've created four separate firewalled virtual machines that can't see each other.
Yeah.
And the Android VM allows you to install Android apps on this device, so you can run Facebook, Twitter, whatever. It's not a full selection of Android apps. It's not the full Google Play Store, but it's a range of vetted apps that work on television. So you can get access to games, social media, all that sort of thing through this VM, which is quite cool as well.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing how this plays out and the improvements they made to it. I mean, once this maybe a second generation of the user interface and maybe add some, just mature the functionality a bit.
So in summary, I mean, my take on all of this is multi-choice probably isn't losing a lot of sleep yet. I think that these are the two most serious challenges certainly we've seen to date. There've been a lot of talk and noise about VOD services and plans by companies to launch stuff, and MTN was looking at it for a long time and then pulled away on that. Vodacom has also been rumored to be looking at it, but I think this is the first time we've seen some serious pressure coming from one side. But certainly it's not these services don't compete with the linear broadcast that MultiChoice offers at all. If you want your Saturday afternoon rugby fix, you're not going to get it through one of these services. You're only going to get that through SuperSport. I think it chips away at their dominance. I don't think it's a punch in the belly for MultiChoice by any stretch of the imagination.
No, for sure. And sports still would be a big contributing factor for people to keep DSTV.
Yeah. But it's an interesting development, and I think it's a welcome development that we've got more VOD players coming into this market, and
definitely.
That it increases consumer choice, even if consumers at the end of the day end up having both services.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's certainly the right time for us to get this, and it's nice to have that selection.
For sure.
And the market can only grow one way.
Yeah.
And then this is the first steps.
Yeah, for sure. Good. Well, Richard, you've actually reviewed it. I've played around with it. I'm a big fan of the platform, actually, and a growing fan of the platform, and that's Windows Phone. And the device that we've been playing around with for the last week or two is the new flagship from Nokia, or is it Microsoft now?
I think it's safe to call it the Nokia still.
Nokia, yeah. Microkia.
Yeah.
And that's the Lumia 930, which is the new flagship phone from Nokia. I think this thing is absolutely gorgeous. I think you like it a lot as well.
Yes.
Beautifully designed.
Yes, definitely. It was quite also interesting to see that Nokia is now moving to the square design, where the guys like the new iPhone is moving away from the square design. But it is a great phone. Beautiful to hold, beautiful to look at, except if you go for the orange or green back covers.
The orange, we've got the bright orange one here in the office, bright orange backing. I actually like it now. I didn't like it when I first took it out the box, but it's really grown on me.
I think I would still prefer the white or the black. But it's the least worrying feature on the phone, really. I mean, the functionality really trumps
trump so many other functions on other phones.
I think if you have a Windows phone device, you probably want to tell the market you're using something different.
Yeah, true.
The green one, well, I haven't seen it in the metal, as it were, but I have seen pictures of the green one. It looks pretty hideous, but the orange, I don't know. It looks quite nice. So while I didn't like it at first, it's warmed on me. So if you're thinking of getting one of these, have a look at the orange one.
Now have a look at the colors first. I think you may want to make up your own mind. But the Windows Mobile operating system has always, in my mind, been one of the best operating systems
around. Windows Phone, you mean?
Windows Phone, sorry.
Windows Mobile.
Windows Mobile, yeah. Well, it started at Windows Mobile, and it's always been a different operating system. Yes, it's had some drawbacks, but it works. It looks different to anything else that's out there. You know, they've really taken on their own look and feel. They've really made it their own.
Mm.
And yeah, the phone itself, I mean, it's got everything going for it.
Yeah.
Nice camera, high-end specifications.
Beautiful camera. The pictures that you took if you go look on the side of the review, particularly there's a shot you took of a set of some flowers, and the definition and vibrancy of those pictures was unbelievable. Mm. It's a beautiful OIS, we said iOS. Optically stabilized image, or OIS, Pure View, Carl Zeiss, 20 megapixel camera, and the pictures it takes are spectacular. And it's amazing that a camera of this quality doesn't even have the slightest bump out on the back. Certainly not like the Lumia 1020, which had the massive... protrusion on its rear.
But that also had the 40 megapixel camera.
That was a 41 megapixel, 41. For sure.
So yeah, I really enjoyed using it. I can certainly see myself. I've been using most of the Windows phones on and off since the first iterations. I mean, even since the days of the Joey, probably about decade ago.
It's come a long way.
It's come a very long way. It's a very nice operating system to kind of master. You know, you can customize the front screen with those tiles. Now with 8.1, there's so much more functionality that you've got access to. But the problem for me still remains largely the fact that the app support isn't as grand as iOS and Android.
I have to agree with you. And you've come at some flack under the review from readers. No doubt Lumia users or Windows Phone users saying that it's not true, there are alternative apps and that sort of thing. But I don't buy that argument.
Neither do I, because as a power user, there are certain apps that work better than other apps. So, I mean, third-party clone apps don't always work the same. If you want something like Strava, which is one of the best fitness tracking apps out there, it simply isn't available on the platform.
I mean, I came across this with the launch of the Altec Node again yesterday. The Altec Node, for example, there's an Android app and there's an iOS app, but there's no Windows Phone app. And you see this again and again and again and again. You bank with NetBank, I bet you there's no Windows Phone app for your
No, there isn't. No.
There is one for F&B, but there are plenty of examples of people say the main apps you need are there, like Facebook and Twitter. But you need these other apps in your day-to-day life, the South African developed apps, so your bank app, the app that controls your Altec Node or whatever other device or application you happen to need. And developers, it's true, developers go to iOS and Android first because those are the two leading platforms.
Well, they go to Android first because it's easy to do and it definitely has the dominance in the market. iOS is always up there too, but it just takes a little longer for those people to get their apps onto the stores because of the vetting process.
Yeah, although in some cases companies develop iOS first. Instagram, of course, is a classic example of that. And it frustrated me no end for the longest time as an Android user that there was no Instagram. It's finally come. Instagram is available for Windows Phone now, though, although it's still in beta. That looks pretty good.
But the other thing that I find with the app situation on the Nokia is the fact that the clone apps, and this is the same problem that Android has, so it's not a dig at the Windows Phone directly, but there's a lot of clone apps, and you don't always, so there's a clone app for Dropbox, there's a few of them.
Yeah.
And if I'm not an educated user, I would click on it and install those apps. Now, I'm sure they are fine to use, but I don't want to entrust my details to my Dropbox account to a third-party app that I can't vet myself.
Exactly.
And because there's so many of these clone apps on there, the same thing with Android phone. You don't know if any of these are malicious apps. There's no way to tell. There's no way to differentiate them.
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
And that's the problem with not having the original app or the original manufacturer's app on the device, because anybody else can develop for it and then yeah, you would not be any wiser. I have spoken to many developers over the last year or two on the same topic, and they tell me that there's no the critical mass is a problem. I mean, if I'm going to spend my man hours to develop an app, or if I'm a business spending money to develop an app, I want to obviously get the biggest target audience. And Windows Phone, it's certainly not in many cases where the app developers want to reach that critical target audience. Windows Phone developers simply, the developers for Windows Phone platform simply don't have that same drive to do it, simply because of the users.
Exactly.
Not enough users, at least on the
platform. Yeah, and Microsoft needs to encourage that. I'm sure they do, but they need to, you know, when they see an app that's starting to trend or something that's new that's interesting, they need to go to those developers and they need to say, well, why don't you develop a Windows Phone? Here's some inducements. Here's some cash to develop for our platform.
They do have a few drives where they try and get to encourage developers, but most of those developers are new developers, so they might develop new apps or their own apps for the platform. But we want the big names, you know. You want the big names on your phone. I mean, if the likes of Strava or NetBank, for argument's sake.
I mean, I must say, just looking at, I'm just playing with the 930 now. I love the new Windows Phone 8.1 interface, where you can have the transparent tiles to a wallpaper. That's a big improvement. I also like the new notification center, although it looks very similar to Android, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's come a long way, and I'm looking forward to the next version. And this is a really great device, and there's no doubt at all in my mind that Nokia still makes some of the best hardware in the world.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, with this one, they're hitting on it. The fact you don't have to have a pin to remove your SIM card is a little thing to me, but it's a big improvement over anything else that's out there.
But it just looks gorgeous. I mean, the aluminium, brushed aluminium sides to this thing. Actually, they're not brushed, just aluminium. It just feels solid in the hand. Really beautiful device, and it's a nice size,
and the screen is beautiful.
5-inch. I think it's 5-inch. 1080p display, and Windows Phone does look gorgeous on a 1080p display.
I think Nokia should do what BlackBerry did and just allow Android apps to be installed, and it'll certainly fill that gap.
Would that be possible, though?
I'm sure they could make it.
Create some, I mean, sort
if
of
we can run a virtual machine on a Mac to run Windows. I'm sure it's possible. I can't see any way that's not. I'm not a developer, though, but it couldn't be a far stretch.
Yeah.
But
it'd be interesting to hear from Windows or Windows developers whether that would be possible.
But yeah, I would certainly use a phone if I could get that same fix for my usage out of it as I would out of iOS and Android.
Excellent. Well, that covers the news for this week. Rechat, I think it's time to move on to our features. Our winner and loser of the week, I think, first of all. Our winner this week is... I have to give a nod to him. I joked with him last time. The last time he was made acting chief financial officer of Telkom, and says, when are they going to give you the job already? He's acted as Telkom CFO so many times. But Dion Fredericks was finally this week announced as the permanent CFO of Telkom. Very nice guy, very likable guy. Understands the company intimately. I think the right choice for the CFO position. And he, of course, is taking over from Jacques Schinderhutter, who left with a handy... what is no doubt going to be proved to be a healthy payout. We have to wait for next year's annual report to see that, as we mentioned in a previous podcast. But Dion Fredericks, long-time Telkom executive, is the new chief financial officer of Telkom. So congrats, Dion. Our loser this week, I think I'll pick this one up as well, is Faith Mutambi. Excellent piece by Virashni Pillai from the Mail and Guardian. I think it was in last week's MNG, explaining how, speaking to their political sources, and explaining how this minister has lost credibility in the government, ironically being head of the Department of Communications, unable to communicate, held interviews with the media, and generally get on with the job of being what is effectively the propaganda minister, and talk now that she may be sidelined and on her way out, possibly even at some point soon. So our loser of the week for that is Faith Mutambi. If you haven't read that story that was in the MNG, it's on Tech Central. Go and have a look at it. It's very interesting reading. Cool. What is your pick this week, Rechot?
So I've been playing with this little app called RootShoot. Root as in the
root. Sounds quite rude.
Yeah. Root as in router. RootShoot. And what is... It's not a perfect app by any means. It's got a few bugs. But I like the direction in which these guys are going. And essentially what it is, it's an app that allows you to record running or cycling from your point of view. But it also overlays a map and elevation.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are...
hiking, for argument's sake, or cycling. You can mount this, your camera, your phone on your back, and this thing will plot your map on Google Maps, your route on Google Maps, and overlay your speed, distance, elevation, and some more details. And you can play it back with the same information. So it's a nice way to track and showcase your route if you're cycling or if you're running up a mountain. Like I said, there are a few limitations to it. You can only record up to 15-minute videos, and if you do high resolution,
what file format does it use?
I haven't exported it yet, but you'll be able to get an AVI out of it.
But
you won't be able to obviously get all the additional functionality with the map overlays. But it's nice to record things. Like I said, if they can work on those time limitations,
I have a Garmin sports running watch, and I export. Garmin Connect, the Garmin Connect cloud service, when I import my data, allows me to export KML files, which I can then import directly into Google Earth, which is really
cool. Yes, and then you can plot your route. This essentially does something like that with video.
And
you can track your elevation.
It's still early. Does it work on?
It's on Android. Like I said,
just Android.
Okay. They still have some work to do, I think, on it, but it's a nice thing to play with.
Is it free?
It is free. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So go check it out. Rootshoot, one word, eh?
Yeah, Rootshoot.
And that's on the Play Store. So I don't actually have a pick this week, my bad. So I guess we should just wrap up the show then, Rechot.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening to the show. As always, if you've got any feedback, please do send us an email. Our email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, have a great weekend. Cheers.
Ciao, ciao.